all my life since I was young, and from what I was reading, I believe that Jesus was an amazing prophet. He was a human. And it didn't make any common sense. How could Jesus be God?
Was to believe in Jesus. So alhamdulillah, we believe in Jesus as one of the mightiest. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus.
I became an ordained minister.
You became a Christian ordained minister?
If for those that don't know what jinn are, they're like evil spirits. They call it the Bible, but then you got the King's Prayer version. The Mormons have their Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses have theirs. Protestants have theirs. The Methodists have theirs. Verses are missing, but there is this Quran that has never been changed.
So this last part when you were going over just gave me chills.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadin Rasulullah.
This is the Deen Show.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. We got another exciting episode. My next guest went from being baptized at a young age of 9 in the Methodist church to shortly after that, sometime later, being involved in the Southern Baptist church. And then from there in a non-denominational church, and at the same time being a designated driver. Now, for those of you that don't know that, we're going to define these terms, get to know more of her story, to what led her to finally being here with us on the Deen Show with my next guest, Karen Khadija. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Wa alaikum assalam. Peace be with you. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
So did we get that right? At 9 years old, you were baptized at the Methodist church.
I was first christened as a Catholic.
Okay.
And when I was a very young child. And so, of course, we went to the Catholic church. But I kept searching, and then at the age of 9, yes, without my parents' permission, I went to the Methodist church, and they were it shocked them that I became baptized in the Methodist church. Mm-hmm.
So then how did you end up in the Southern Baptist church?
The way I grew up, it was you go in the military or you get married military. So at the time, I had a boyfriend, and so I got married. He was military, of course, but he was Baptist, Southern Baptist. And so that meant basically we're going to Baptist. I tried to go to the Methodist church a little bit, but, you know, when you follow your husband's route, and then every year, basically, because of military, we moved.
What's the main difference between the Methodist church that you started off with and then the Southern Baptist church? What are the main differences?
There's really not much main differences. They're more, how do you want to put, I felt more open in a Methodist church than I was in a Baptist church. You know, you had to follow and this is the way it was and don't ask the questions and you're blindly following like sheep. That's what I would call it.
That's for which one? The Southern Baptist?
For the Baptist. Okay. Baptists were a little bit more strict than the Methodist. Methodist is more open. And I think what they do when for me in the Methodist church, it was they try to change things to make it completely acceptable for everybody, not just the way it should be as far as straightway. And they put a lot of both of the churches put a lot of their opinion. You know how you pick pieces and parts from the Bible and then they make their opinion or story to get their point across. But in most cases, what they're picking out, that's not what it means.
Mm-hmm. And from there, you end up. But the creed is pretty much the same, that Jesus, the belief that Jesus is part of a trinity, a triune.
On the cross, and that's you had to go through Jesus before you could get through anything else. And if you didn't believe in Jesus, then you were going to hell. Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand that because to me, all my life since I was young and from what I was reading, I believed that Jesus was an amazing prophet. He was a human. And it didn't make any common sense. How could Jesus be God? At a very young age, I just didn't understand it. And that meant and led to a lot of arguments and basically that I was a bad child because I wouldn't believe the way it was, the way we were supposed to be raised. And even when I became a Muslim, I was a traitor to my religion, to my family, and to the traditions and the cultural. So it was a big shock to my family. But to me, it brought me peace. And that's what I was searching for, was peace in my life and understanding. Because the questions that I had, they started being answered, you know?
Now, did you say this term a lot in both churches or just one or the other? No, I mean this term, hallelujah. Is this familiar with you, hallelujah?
I love that, all the time. Yeah. I sang in the choir. I love singing. I think that was some of the things that worried me as I came into Islam. I know now that being a Muslim is between God, me and Allah. And a lot of different terms, but yes, that was...
The reason I say that is because I say hallelujah or alhamdulillah, which just means alhamdulillah, which means all praises to the creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah, that because you said earlier that you will end up the only way to receive salvation or to get to paradise, or what you said was to believe in Jesus. So alhamdulillah, we believe in Jesus as one of the mightiest. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus.
People don't seem to understand. They don't seem to understand that Jesus is also number one in our lives. You know, we do believe in him. We believe in his miracles and what he did and what he came for and what he stood for. And alhamdulillah, the Messiah will come back, and which he will. But in his time, there's nobody knows what's going to happen, you know, only. And so, but forced, you know, every time you turn, if you disagreed with some church, you were going to hell. Didn't understand that.
Yeah, many people don't know that if you reject, in Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, if you reject belief, if you deny Jesus or say any derogatory thing against him, peace, we say peace be upon him, that's how you can get to the hellfire, by disrespecting Jesus. But we love him as a mighty messenger, but we respectfully say that he never claimed to be God, a part of God. He wasn't part of a trinity. He called people to worship the one and only creator of the heavens and earth, the same way Abraham, Moses, and the last and final Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, worshiped the creator. So alhamdulillah, so you go from the Methodist church to the Southern Baptist church, and then you find yourself in a non-denominational church.
Yes. So I kept searching. Like I said, I always had questions, and at the same time, something just kept, you know, even though you're going through life and doing work and raising children, and there was just pieces were missing, and I wanted to find those. And so with all the fighting that churches do between each other, that one religion is better than theirs, I then went to a non-denominational church, and I started studying with them, and they basically didn't care what your belief was. They just wanted you to be a member. And so I would do some articles, I would write, I would do more studying. I went to their little seminary schools, and it turned out that basically, you know, the more I became an ordained minister, and I thought, hey, I like this. You know, I'm an ordained minister. I have a little card still somewhere in my office saying Reverend Carolyn. And so that felt, I was almost, you know, I felt like I was there and I was done. And then I think it was a little bit time after that, just something kept questioning myself, like something was missing. And so at the same time, I think I stepped back because I called myself an independent spiritualist. Because whenever I tried to talk about God and tell people, look, God wants you to be with him. He wants you to thank him. That's the number one thing, and that's, to me, thanking him is worshiping him. But he, you know, Allah is kind. He's not what I grew up with of, you know, how do you want to say it? He always was, you needed to fear him. I mean, really fear him to where you were scared to death of him. And Allah is so amazing. He's so merciful, so forgiving. And yeah, we make mistakes. We're human. We're not perfect. But if we recognize and try to grow closer to him and recognize our faults and work on those faults and try to be a better person, that's what Allah wants to see. And so, like I said, I became an ordained minister. I would go talk to people. And I think a lot of it was the way I was living. And then all of a sudden, and this is where you were talking about designated driver. I had a best friend from high school that I've known her for 30 years. And every time I turned around, she wanted to go out. And I was just not a person who, I don't know, I didn't feel comfortable going out. She wanted me to dress up. She would do my makeup. She would do my hair. And I just, you know, you're out there flaunting yourself, you know, and I always felt self-conscious about myself. And so when we would go out, of course, I guess I'm the responsible one. She would do all the drinking and then I would always be worried. And so I would be the designated driver for whoever was in the group. To make sure everybody got home safe.
Yeah, many people haven't heard that term, or if they haven't, designated driver, as soon as you say that, that means there's going to be some drinking involved. There's going to be some partying.
and the memories from all of that just, I mean, I don't know if you want to say they were what we call good times if you're going out partying all the time, but you're just... You don't, there's a lot of stuff you don't remember. And drinking just, you know, just, I don't know. It just didn't, I've tried it, I've done it, but I'm just not into it. You know, it just kept something inside me, kept bothering me.
Yeah. Just imagine how many lives, just what you said just stood out. You know, there's a lot of things I don't remember. How many women, men, how many people just black out? And then they end up, you know, being raped, molested, you know, taken advantage of because of that alcohol. Islam protects you from that. So obviously Muslims don't even have a sip of it. They're not supposed to. Or a man, he does something, you know, that he's not supposed to do because he's intoxicated, right? And then he just loses his whole life, right, that has in front of him because he got involved in these things that the Creator, out of his love, told us to stay away from.
One of those
right.
things is alcohol.
And that's something... Something about alcohol, you just can't have one. And when it gets to you, how do you want to say it sucks you in. And you keep drinking and then you don't realize. And then until it's too late and pass outs and throwing up all the time. And, you know, that's just in all reality, is there really any fun into that? I'd rather be playing a game of cards and doing things with my family and my friends that are my sisters, the Islamic sisters I have now. We have picnics, we have get-togethers, and we have an enjoyable free time and we talk about the Quran, we talk about Allah, that, you know, you'll remember from time on. It's something that you'll remember and you grow with.
Mm-hmm. Some actual positive bonding. Tell me this term that you use, ordained minister. So you, as a woman, you became a Christian ordained minister?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Tell how did that happen?
When we were doing the seminary, I've always felt like I belong to Allah since I was a little girl. And I was very fascinated with nuns. I don't know why. But I just, for some reason, when it was offered to me, I said yes. I thought that would be an exciting step. I thought that would be the last step. I had no idea. Out of all the religions that I studied, I never studied about Islam, which was the funny part out of it, because the Christian church don't acknowledge it. I mean, now in today's society, yes, they do. But back then, no, they did not.
Mm. Tell me now, as a ordained minister, you had some questions still. You were concerned about the Trinity. You used to call Jesus, peace be upon him, a wonderful prophet. So how was it? Were you still battling with that? Because now you're in a higher position or ordained minister, but now you're having trouble with, you know, the basic, this is the creed. This is the foundation of the religion, this Trinity, right? So then how are you going through this, calling him a wonderful prophet, which actually the Bible calls him a prophet. We believe he was a messenger, a prophet. So how did you battle between these two? And then when you went to some of your seniors or people, some of the people in the church to question him about some of these questions you had, what kind of response did you get?
Well, questioning about it was one of those things where you believe it or not, and that's it. It was taboo. You just didn't talk about it. It's one of those things where, yes, I did battle, and I battled with it for a long time. Even though I became ordained, it was the fact that I was like, well, maybe I am wrong. Maybe I'll just accept it. I just give up and just go with the flow. That's what kept making me go. I didn't want to go with the flow. Because, you know, you talk about it and you listen, you're like, I just really, you know, in your head, you're like, nah. But on the outside, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. And you wouldn't talk, you would skip around those questions so that you didn't have to get deep into it. Because if I went to go get deep into it, I'd really sit there and say, okay, excuse me, wait a minute. How do you get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as one? It doesn't make any sense. I remember I studied one time with the Mormons, and they said, well, you accept this. And I said, I have a question for you. And I know it sounds silly. The first thing I said was, I said, okay, so you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, who's to say that the Holy Ghost is not a woman? And you should have seen their faces. They just like I must have said something really, really bad or something. And they're like, okay, but how does, I mean, I can understand when you do something, you become one, but you're not actually one. So it's just like a symbolism part. But God is God. And alhamdulillah, I use the term God when I'm around my friends, of course, and they're mostly Arabic, it's Allah. But when I speak to a lot of people that are not Muslim, I use the word God because people are scared to death of, I guess, Arabic language. I don't understand how that one, but I try to explain to them that Allah is his name. That's one of his names.
Yeah. Let me just take a moment and define some of these terms for the not yet Muslims, non-Muslims who are coming in. Muslim is simply one who has chosen to freely submit to the creator of the heavens and earth, the same God that Jesus worshiped, Abraham, Moses, and the last fundamental prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him. And all of them. And Allah, like you said, Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they use the term Allah. And the sister language to Arabic is Aramaic, and that's the language Jesus spoke. So when you heard this term Allah, now you freely use it. And when you, even in the Bible, in the Arabic language, Allah is mentioned 17 times around in the first page in the book of Genesis. So this is not, and it's Encyclopedia Britannica talks about Jesus calling on God by Allah, Elohim, you know, in Hebrew. So this English language didn't exist back then. So how would they have called God? This is just something to think about. But when you started to learn about this word Allah, when you started to use it, how was it at that time, you know, the impression that you were getting, how did you make that transition to what you knew about Allah before and what you were learning now? And was it easy to understand?
Actually, it was kind of nice that I finally had a name, because when you say God, a lot of times people don't realize that it's one. They think, you know, as soon as you say God, they think Jesus. And I try to get people to understand the term Allah, that that's one of his names, and to call him that. And all it is God in Arabic. As far as the transition, I felt more at peace with myself because I felt like I was getting closer to him, because now I have a better connection. Because when I sit down and pray and Ya Allah, it's me, you know, talking to Allah personally. Mm-hmm.
There's
this infomercial that's being put out, and it's by a Christian organization. And what they're doing is they're putting on, portraying a woman who used to be supposedly Muslim. And now one of the talking points she has, this is like now when someone goes on YouTube, it's one of those commercials that pops up. And I've seen this quite a few times. So one of the talking points is that she says that, oh, I fell into this, this, and that, and all this bad stuff, but I didn't know who to turn to. And I was trained or taught that Allah is just so, like, you know, angry, and he is just so, there's no forgiveness with Allah, and then I have to turn to Jesus. And what would you say to, so, because you mentioned earlier how merciful Allah is, and this is one of the misconceptions that many people, you know, falsely put out there. What would you say to someone like that?
I would say she needs to do a lot of searching within herself. I think that she's following other people and what they say because she's got a resentment. You know, in this religion, it's a personal thing between you and Allah. And when you, and yes, there are times that you can get angry with Allah because you're not getting the way that you want your life to go. And acceptance is the number one thing. But when you follow him, and it's when you put him number one, first in your life, he is so merciful. The miracles that are around here, you know, you just, a lot of people don't see them. And I would say that either jinn, which are, if for those that don't know what jinn are, they're like evil spirits, or shaitan, which is the devil, is enticing her to go a different direction and keep her. And we will all be tested. That's, you know, that's expected. You can't sit there and think that you go into another change of lifestyle, another religion, and not think that you're not going to get tested. Allah, it says he will test the best of those that he tests, those that he loves, and the ones that he, you know, the closer you get, the more tests you're going to have. Mm-hmm. And when bad things happen to me, the first thing I say to myself, because, you know, you get agitated, you're a human, you're going to get agitated and irritated. And I can sit in my car and I say, yeah, Allah, and I realize that something that came through my head, that the shaitan or jinn is there. And the first thing I say to myself is, you know, this is a test. This is a test of my faith. And I'm not going to let go of Allah. I don't care how much I get tested. I'm still going to be a Muslim. I'm still going to be with Islam because I found that's what is in my heart now. And when I do that, it's like all of a sudden it dissipates, you know, because it's like, I think the shaitan is always going to be there, but God is there first. So I would say to her that she needs to really do some searching on herself and understand why she's so upset with Allah.
Tell me the next transition of your story in this timeline. So we went from the different churches, non-denominational, you being an ordained minister, and then you've ended up meeting a Muslim woman. Is that right? And then from there.
That was the fun part and the most interesting part. So this girl that I was always the designated driver for, and we would go out and she would get drunk and we would go party, and that's how she wanted to always live. She happens to show up one night, and we were supposed to go out that night, and she turned around and she says, oh, I found somebody that looks and acts just like you. And I said, what? And I said, what do you mean acts like me? She says, oh, the one, you never want to drink, you don't want to party, you don't want to dress up. She says, so I found somebody like you, but she just wears this scarf around her head. And I said, really? And I perked up and I said, I'd really like to meet this young lady. And she was like, oh, okay. So then we went out, partied, came home. And a couple months later, I kept bugging her. I would call her and I said, have you talked to that girl? And she says, oh yeah, we'll get a time to meet up. And then all of a sudden we finally got time to where all of us, cause she was in nursing school, and, we all sat down one day to meet, and I went and told her all the stuff that had happened through my life about how I kept searching. She opened up the Quran. It was an Arabic and English version. She started pointing some things out and she looked at me and she says, you know, with a laugh, she says, you know what? She says, all your life, you have been living like a Muslim. I said, no, I have not. What are you talking about? She says, no. The good deeds that you do, the kindness, wanting to search for Allah, praying, coming closer to Him, being nice and being good and just being a caring person. The good that was being done, that's what she turned around. And so I said, well, you know, what is a Muslim? How do you become one? Because, you know, I was like, okay, what's going on here? And she just turned around. She says, you just have to say the Shahada. I said, the Shahada? What in the world is that? And she says, well, it's La ilaha illallah Muhammadin Rasulullah. And I was like, okay, English, please. And she turned around. She says, the fact that there is only one God and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last messenger. And when you accept Allah as one, and the messenger is this last prophet who came for all of mankind, not just a certain tribe. Because if you look in the Bible, every prophet that showed up came for a specific tribe back in those days. And she says, you know, I said, well, do you just, she says, you'll know when you're ready. She says, but it's good when you feel it to accept the Shahada, because from then, you start off like a new baby and your sins are forgiven and you start from there. And then you learn to change your lifestyle even more and for the good. And so I thought that was kind of cool. And we finished right then and there and she went home and her way. And then I, of course, now I'm really into the internet, looking some stuff up. And a couple of days later, I met up with a friend who, a brother that I didn't know was a brother at the time. And he was a friend of my father. Well, when my father had passed away, he like took over, you know, if I ever needed to have somebody to speak with, we would sit down, have coffee and sit down and speak. And so I sat down with him over at the coffee shop. And I turned around, I said, you're not going to believe it. So I explained who I met, what I was saying, what I thought. And then I told him, I said, you know what I was thinking? I said, last night, between me and Allah, I went ahead and said the Shahada, I really believe that this is the right direction to go. And that's when he looked at me and he says, welcome home. And I said, what does that mean, welcome home? He says, mashallah, you finally got here. And I said, Jude, what are you talking about? He says, I'm a Muslim. I said, what? I said, so for the last 10, 15 years, I've known you with my father. You're a Muslim? And he said, yes. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me anything about this? And he said, you have had so much going on in your life and so many different struggles that I didn't want to confuse you even more and bring something else into your life until you were ready. And he says, we don't, it's not compulsion. We don't force people to come into Islam. This is something that you want. You have to want it. And I was like, I'm not being forced. That was, you know, I was like, you mean you didn't talk to me because you thought I would be forced? He says, no, when you're a Muslim, you come in freely. None of us are forced to come be a Muslim. Even a Muslim born Muslim is not a Muslim until they take the Shahada. And just because, you know, and that's something I learned through time. It was so interesting to see that's how, and now I understood where all his patience came from and why he was the way he always was, very quiet, very wise in his words. And he would always think before he did things.
So how far along after that conversation with him did you actually officially accept Islam?
Well, I went to we had the small little Islamic center in Fort Walton Beach. And about a month later, exactly, October 11th, 2011, I publicly came out and said the Shahada. And at first I didn't understand why. And then I realized after they explained it to me, yes, it is a religion between you and Allah. But when you come out publicly and you say it in front of the other people that are in the masjid, they now know that you're a Muslim, and everybody gets taken care of. When you become a Muslim, they now, like I said, it's one big family. I have met so many Muslims around the world that if I had a lot of money and could really travel, I would have a place to stay everywhere. Just, you know, because they've become family. And it's amazing. And it's not going to always happen for everybody. You're going to have, everybody goes through their own stages, but there was just like a peace. Once I came out public and realized, wait a minute, I am a Muslim. I accept this, you know, because sometimes when you do things in hiding, it's just between you. But when you come out public, you're admitting publicly that, yes, I am a Muslim, and I'm not scared to say it. So that was one of the most amazing days in my life that I had.
Just a couple more questions before we're out of time. So just for the audience, it's just like saying, look, I am one who has chosen to submit my will to God Almighty, the Creator Allah. That's it. Is there something wrong with that? Do you have a problem with that? I mean, most people who are God conscious, you know, who believe in the Creator of the heavens and the earth, they would say, no, that's a great thing, right? But that's what, just that one word, Muslim, that's what it means. It encapsulates me saying this whole long sentence of what I just said. So it's made simple. It's made easy. So what was it, when you contrast now from going from Methodist church, Baptist church, non-denominational, or being an ordained minister, all of the things in the confusion, like many people struggle with the Trinity, they struggle with God being a man, you know, and they love this pure monotheism, the Tawheed, as we call it in Islam, that you only worship one and only God, the Creator, the one who created creation, but not his creation that he created. No, that makes sense, and being morally upright. And then if anybody reads the Quran sincerely, humbly, looking for the truth, the signs are there. There's so many miracles in the Quran. What was it that stood out that you remember that did it for you? When you contrast what you're upon before, and finally, what did it for you that you finally said, no, this is the truth?
What did it for me? And part of me felt when I, you know, even though I had transferred over to being a Muslim, I still was still searching, and I shut down my business. Which I do not ever recommend to any of the sisters if you ever have a business. And I put a leap of faith. I said, you know what, if this is real, I'm taking a leap of faith. I'm dropping everything. And I wanted to show that I wasn't, I guess, materialistic, because I had a lot of material things. And I left and I went to Egypt, and things happened over in Egypt, and then I met the sisters over there and started really learning the kindness of the people that was given to me. Just really opened up the doors, and understanding the Quran even more, that you can't just, you know, you just can't take one ayat. You have to understand above and below, and that there are time periods within the Quran that are to be used, yes, into this lifestyle, but we also have to remember when the Quran was wrote. So it's a way of life. You know, it's a guide. And that was right there. And like I told my mom a long, long time ago, you show me the true Bible and something that was actually written by God, and I will follow you. And my mother could never do that. And then there's so many different Bibles out there that you don't know which one really is the right one. There's so many versions, and every religion always has all their, they call it the Bible, but then you got the King's version. The Mormons have their Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses have theirs. Protestants have theirs. The Methodists have theirs. Verses are missing, but there is this Quran that has never been changed. And mashallah, to have so many people to memorize that. And that's when the sisters had told me that it would be best to be married. And when I met my husband, he was a reciter, but he knew so much about the Quran. And his, when I was learning more and more of how to say the words correctly, the fact that it has not changed, that's just amazing miracle in itself. You took away the Quran totally 100% right now, and it could be totally rewritten in the exact same words because everybody has memory. It's so easy to memorize. It takes a little bit. Yes. And people will tell you that learning Arabic is hard. And I told them, you know what? It might be hard, but if Allah wants you to do it, it's in your heart. It's going to be easy. And so to see something, to have a Quran that's never been changed, that's what that's what showed me that, you know what, this is real. This is, and I studied our Prophet, peace be upon him, his life and the way he treated people and the way he did things and how he lived, that the humble was just that, I think, was all the turning points.
Wow. That just this last part when you were going over just gave me chills, you know, shot a wave of like electricity through my body. Just these chills, like hearing, you know, this miracle that many of us take for granted. It's amazing. Like the way you explained it, coming from you, an ordained Christian minister, and now you're on the program and you're talking about this. It's just Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What last closing comments and advice for many Muslims, you know, just look, you're now coming from the way of life that you were upon before. You really searched and searched and were guided to this deen, this way of life, this beautiful way of life. And, you know, you're dressing like Mary, the mother of Jesus, wearing the hijab. But you got a lot of Muslims struggling, you know, to make prayer, taking the deen for granted. When you see that, like, what do you want to say to such people who are born maybe in a Muslim family, but they're taking their deen, you know, this way of life for granted? What advice do you give them?
The most advice, and it took me a while to learn this, I would hear it all the time. Sheikh Issa, from our Destin area, he always, and I thought at first when he said the word that he just didn't know the answer. But his one word was the biggest and the wisest answer that anybody could give: patience. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have tests. You're going to have trials. When you come closer to Allah, Shaitan does not like it. And it's like a battle, because he's losing a body, a soul. And now you're getting closer to Allah. But if you realize with just a little bit of patience, and when things happen, if you could just breathe slowly, breathe in and let it back out, and realize that this is a test. Allah is going to be with you all the time. It states in there that Allah will not give up on you. The only way Allah gives up on you is when you give up on Allah. And so the number one thing is patience. Take it slow. Study what you can. Question everything if you can. And if somebody turns around and mentions a hadith or mentions something in the Quran, say, hey, what's the ayat? What hadith number? Go look it up. Because when you look it up and you read it, and it's there, that's when the justification comes in, and realizing, wait a minute, that maybe I should do a little bit more that direction, or wait a minute, go closer to Allah this direction. You know, put Allah first, and remember you're going to be tested.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the Dean Show, sharing your story. And thank you guys for being with us here on the Dean Show. This is such a wonderful story. I hope you got to enjoy it like I did. You know, just seeing people who have come from all different walks of life, ways of life, religions, and there's doubts there. Things don't make sense. They don't add up. And then they start to question. They don't get the answers. But Islam has all the answers. So if you're going to someone and they're not giving you the answers, go to the next person. Be humble, be sincere, be genuinely looking for the truth. And God Almighty, the Creator Allah, will guide you. And that's the first place I always leave my audience with, is within yourself. Ask the Creator. Because it could be daunting, you would think, confusing. There's so many different religions. Which one is the right one? But you got to ask yourself. Everything has an expiration date. And I will also. And I'll die. We have a departure date. So I better get it right. Everything has a purpose. What about me? What's my purpose in life? And then start to do this little small thing every day. Ask the Creator within yourselves. Guide me. Guide me. Guide me. What is my purpose? What do you want from me? The one who created me. Guide me to the truth. And then look into Islam. Sincerely. Read the Quran. Connect with some Muslims. Forget about everything you've been told. All the nonsense. All these doubts that have been fired your way to confuse you. Look and search for yourself. Read the Quran. Go to a mosque. Connect with a Muslim and ask those questions. And see the answers that come to you. And if you're genuine and sincere, a whole new world of goodness will open up, God willing. We'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already. Here on The Dean Show, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.